There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is Hidden Killers Year in Review. A look back at the biggest stories of 2025. This is continuing coverage of United States versus Sean Diddy Combs from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Well, Diddy's not walking away with any awards from this trial with being the nicest person on the planet. Certainly very vile behavior that has been accounted for by Cassie Ventura, her mom even backing a lot of it up. We're going to talk about the psychology behind some of this today with Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, and also this is her new book, Nightbird, a memoir. I do highly recommend checking this out at your local bookstore, Amazon, or wherever you get books. Let's start with Regina Ventura. This is Cassie's mom. She was on the stand the other day. Regina Ventura ended up paying Diddy $20,000 out of her own pocket for fear that he'd leak Cassie's explicit tapes and physically harm her daughter. That's what came out on the stand the other day. Her paying him $20,000. Now, $20,000 is like nothing to Diddy, but it certainly was to her. And to do this is almost like reverse extortion in a certain way. What's going on with someone like a Diddy where this is the power you seem to yield, where you can ask people to pay you to not do harm to another human being? What kind of human is this that we're talking about?
Yeah, you know, he is so... There's a lot of elements to him that are so cruel and sadistic. Not only the way he treats people sexually and with violence, but to exploit someone in this way, it's almost sadistic, isn't it? It's horrifying. And it also shows the degree of trauma that not only Cassie went through, but how this affected her family and other people that were connected to her.
And the feeling that this is what we have to do. Like, we can't get away from this. Like, we have to bow down to this monster and not leave. That's the whole dynamic of abuse and relationships and all that. But it's quite stunning. Let's talk about something that everybody seems to be talking about in this case, and that is the fact that Diddy allegedly had a thing for watching other men have relations with his significant other, Cassie Ventura. It's an interesting one. I know it's a thing out there for some folks, but at the same point, what's the psychology of a human being who's really wanting to do that and have have your partner have sex while you watch with someone else and you're enjoying that? That doesn't sound like the definition of a healthy relationship.
No, no. And when I think of Sean Combs and what we know about him at this point, and I'm sure there's a lot we still don't know and we'll never know, but I just see a bundle of paraphilias. And a paraphilia is a clinical term for abnormal, irregular sexual behavior that causes harm to other people. And this guy had so many kinks that were harmful and hurtful and dangerous. And so the specific one about the watching, you do see this. There are couples that consent to it where, you know, I mean, it's certainly not my thing to validate, but if it doesn't cause harm and everybody's on the same page, okay, so be it. Mm-hmm. But in this case, clearly, he was causing harm, and it's just one of many, from urinating on her and, you know, voyeuristic aspects of wearing a mask and forcing people and violence. I mean, it's just, it's a whole bundle of things that were wrong with him.
Is this something you think that has existed in him forever? Like, you, even in his younger years before he had the power and the money, that these were his kinks? These are the things that he was into? Really? My question was going to be, are these things that came about later because he kept going to such extreme behavior that it's like, well, that's not that exciting anymore, so I got to level up to this. And then that's not that exciting, so I got to level up to this. And then you start getting into that really dangerous territory where you are harming other people for your own enjoyment. You think he was like this just all along? Like, this is just kind of his thing. And it just, give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, you know, we never know for everybody, because the development of this stuff is always unique, but it's always a combination of biology, genetics, and social environment. Sometimes there's an abuse history, but certainly not always, meaning a sexual abuse history. And sometimes it's exposure, particularly early in life, to weird, violent, or kinky porn that contributes. But there's also, you know, some thinking that some people are more pre-wired out of the chute for being a bit off sexually, different than the rest of us. Mm-hmm. So my guess is that he was a bit off from the beginning and maybe more prone to extreme sexual behavior with extreme sexual drives. And then, yes, as he became more powerful, it progressed to where it's like an addiction. I need more and more and more and more to feel satisfied. But to me, it's, you know, there are people who are into foot fetishes and shoes. And I met one guy once who was into ears. I'm like, he had to have photos of women's ears. Another one that was into women's hair.
Yeah.
He was actually riding the city bus around, and he would, I don't know how he pulled this off, but this was in all the local news here in Portland. Oh, he would masturbate in women's hair sitting behind them on the bus.
Oh,
I mean, so people develop these weird things. And I, you know, I don't know how to explain some of this stuff. It's just, you know, it's poorly understood. How do you research it? You know, you get these stories and you try to go over their history, and sometimes you just can't find where did this develop from. But it does tend to develop, you know, as they become sexually motivated in their teens. That's when the weird fantasies start. But then I think a lot of people, they don't have the power to pull off what he pulled off. Mm-hmm. And yes, I agree with you. It did get more extreme over time.
Siobhan, explain to me how someone gets off doing that into someone's hair in a city bus.
I don't know. And there was another one. I'm giving you my stories today. We would have a very fun dinner party conversation. There was another one at my local Safeway about a mile from my house.
The irony.
And they, exactly. And they got caught the guy. He was having little cups of semen, and he would walk around in the Safeway and throw it at women. And a lot of them, he did it from behind and they didn't know. And eventually he was caught on camera and someone saw him do it and he was arrested. And, you know, but I remember that one. It's like, where did that come from? I mean, it's just, you find these ways. There are stories you probably don't want to hear. You know, I've got more, but yeah.
I'm morbidly curious about these people because it's so insane. I mean, what's scary to me about all of these things that people are doing, a lot of these folks, they were brought up pre-internet porn age.
That's true.
And now, I mean, there's something for everybody out there, it seems. What I'm scared about is that type of behavior, you know, becoming more rampant, more extreme, more weird stuff out in public, more extreme things that are hurtful to other people that they think is just normal. And I think that's a big question about the Diddy situation. Was he, and doesn't make it right by any means, but was he aware of the harm he was causing other people with these sexual proclivities? I don't think there's any arguing that he knows it's not okay to kick somebody in the face or stomp on their head. There's no question knowing you can't, that that's wrong. But the sexual stuff, when, you know, you have someone who seems to be kind of there under duress and it's like, yeah, this is great, Diddy. He seems to be taking that at face value without ever quite recognizing, oh shit, like I'm really harming these people that I supposedly care about.
I put that one down to his psychopathy, which I don't think there's any question that this guy's a psychopath at this point. He's sadistic, psychopathic, manipulative, all of those, what we call the dark tetrad, you know, of qualities that are, you know, very bad mix. And psychopathic people see other people as objects. They don't love in the way that, you know, the rest of us feel a kind of a romantic attachment or a loving attachment even to our children. Other people are objects to be used.
Yeah.
And so even though they may intellectually see that, yeah, this person is not happy with what's going on, I can see that, but they really do not care. And that's what makes them so dangerous. There's just no empathic attunement there.
But they can act like it. They can fake it pretty good, right?
Very much. Very much. Yes.
And that's
what makes them scary. The smart ones fake it very well.
How do they know to do that? Is it just emulating other people that they've seen showing love and showing care and you just get really good at faking it till you make it? Or, I mean, are they able to turn on those emotions for a slight period of time, but then flip them right off when they need to not feel the accountability of their actions?
I think it's an acting job, and a lot of people develop it, you know, people with this personality style develop in childhood, and they learn, you know, empathy develops age 3, 4, 5, 6 is when kids are supposed to develop it. And for whatever reason, combination of genetics and environment, these folks don't have it, but they see what gets them attention and praise. And when they can act loving toward other people, oh, you know, I get something beneficial back for doing that. And so it's again, a style that develops in childhood and they get really good at it.
Let's talk about one thing that he is alleged to have done and that just came out in court is basically blowing up a car, blowing up Kid Cudi's car. Kid Cudi is a rapper who was dating Cassie Ventura for a short period of time while they were kind of having a downspout. Diddy recklessly sleeping with everybody that he wanted to. But if she did it, that's a big no-no. He found out about it, made a threat that he would blow up his car. And then what do you know? A little while later, his car blows up. When we're trying to figure out what the hell's going on with the person, is that a prime example of a narcissistic injury or is this just a psychopath on a rampage?
I think you've got the psychopathic lack of concern for somebody else's life. And then, the narcissistic rage at how dare you because she's my object. You know, she's not a person, but she belongs to me. And how dare you?
Yeah. And that's just there's a lot of that with Diddy. It seems we've seen videos of Diddy where he gets into these rages and people looked at that and go, look how passionate he is. Look how dedicated he is to what he's doing. There's a lot of folks in high places of power that have reactions like that, and it could be narcissistic rage. And sometimes it's looked at or used as, well, this is what makes them who they are. Without that sort of passion, and I'm saying that in air quotes for everybody listening to this, they wouldn't be where they are. Is that, I mean, not blowing up other people's cars, but, I mean, is that more of a common thing with really high-level individuals in their fields or in their crafts where they've reached such a level, but maybe they wouldn't have gotten there without the intimidation, without that rage, without basically people telling them no at some point because they're fearing what is going to happen to them if they were to speak up?
Now, it's appalling to me that we make awful people famous,
yeah,
and how other famous people will validate, justify, and go along with this kind of extreme behavior. And this would be, you know, another topic for a book on all the awful people that have become celebrities, and then contrast that with the benevolent people, mm-hmm, you know, that have used their wealth and fame for good. The one that pops into my head is Keanu Reeves, who's known as a humanitarian and always doing wonderful things. And I'm sure there are many other examples, but there's this dark side to the entertainment industry. And I think as a culture, we need to think about that and look, mm-hmm, at it. It's like, who do we make famous and what does that say about us?
Yeah. What about the preoccupation with guns and weapons that Diddy seemed to have? He was always, according to many witnesses, not necessarily in the music videos, but in his home, pulling out big guns quite a bit. And we've learned, no, not all of them were registered, not all of them were legal, but he had quite a few. I mean, I get, you know, he's someone who had personal security. It wasn't like he was sitting there by himself and should, you know, Suge Knight come knocking on the door, the ghost of Tupac, he's not going to have to sit there and pull out the AR to defend himself. He's got people for that. But there seems to be almost like a security blanket that he looked at these weapons as having, the way he would display them and brag about them to his friends and even his enemies. What does that say? Does that show like a really huge level of insecurity that I have to go look at all these big weapons ultimately at the end of the day? I mean, what does that say about someone who's really into that? I'm not talking about hunters. I'm just talking yeah, about somebody who's, you know, has a small army arsenal in their, you know, in their coat closet.
Yeah, a couple things could be somebody who's got paranoia. Mm-hmm. I don't know that was true in his case. It could also be this almost like getting high over the sense of domination and power. Mm-hmm. And I think firearms, when somebody is, you know, collecting this many big guns and they clearly don't have a security need for guns, mm-hmm, it's a sense of look what I can do and look how powerful I am. You know, and he may have had fantasies about what he would like to do with all those guns, which puts him again in the category of a very disturbed, yeah, person.
Like, it's there. What else would have happened? Had he not been going down for this, I wonder what would have brought him down. I mean, obviously he hasn't been found guilty yet, but I think we know, mm-hmm, where this is going. I mean, if it wasn't this, would it be something, you think? Something maybe even worse? I mean, this is pretty bad. Yeah. But I hesitate to say maybe even worse. But I mean, maybe. I mean, maybe like people dying. Yeah. You know, I mean, and there are rumors that that is a possibility.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. I think eventually something horrendous would have happened, even worse than what we've heard about thus far. Mm-hmm. But it really shocks me that he got away with all this for as many years as he did. That's, yeah, just crazy.
His family, his kids, his sons, his daughters, a lot of them have been in court and some out of court on certain days. His mother's been there. How the hell are they processing something like this? I mean, do they just believe he didn't do any of these things, even though it's on video of him horribly abusing Cassie? We know that much. With all the other allegations, are these folks who are just going to put the rest aside and go, none of it else can be true? We know that happened, but nothing else can be true about this, as they sit behind him, this monster that's having all these people finally let their floodgates open and share the horrors of what life was like with this man, and still sit there and I guess support him. That always to me is very shocking, especially when it gets this raw and this real, where there really is no question about the behavior. We know who he is. We know what he did. Why on earth would you still be there behind them? I don't care if you're mom. I don't care if you're son. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you're daughter, whatever. Why are you there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't speak well of the family culture that this kind of behavior could be. Even if a tenth of it is true, you know, you would think the family would be having serious concerns at this point. And the fact that they can remain supportive and, as you say, just sit there and witness this stuff and it doesn't waver makes me wonder how many qualities of his that they share, you know, this disregard for other people. It just doesn't smack of a normal human reaction.
If you were to give advice to his sons, who there's other charges that are out there on them or accusations against them of engaging in very similar type acts that he did, before they continue to ruin their lives further or have their lives ruined, I maybe should say, because like if you were brought up in this and this is all you know, I do have some sympathy for you. You're an adult now. You should know what's right and wrong. So that's on you. But, you know, you can't change necessarily who you were brought up around and what was normalized. What would you say to them to maybe try and have some semblance of a normal life or a healthy life now that daddy's going to be behind bars for the rest of his life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would probably go in two areas. One would be, is it possible to elicit empathy for other people from them, to try to have them, you know, put yourself in the shoes of some of these people who have been victimized by your father? And do they even have the capacity to do that? If they have the capacity to do that, that would be a good sign. If they didn't and said, you know, these other people deserved it or it doesn't really matter, then I would have to, you know, fall back on the second one. Do you want to spend your life in prison because it's going to work better for you if you can learn to at least play normal in the world and treat other people decently?
Yeah. And that's the scary part about all this. Like, what are they going to do? What if this was like, it just seems like this is one of those nightmares waiting to happen. You can't just like lock somebody up and put them in a padded room because they've been raised by the devil incarnate. So they're going to go out there, they're going to do their own things in life. If they're incapable of having that empathy because it's just that kind of part of who they are, it's part of how they were brought up, is there any, can they learn empathy? Can that be something that they tap into? Maybe it's just like really on low volume in their lives or in their minds, but they need to take a stronger listen to that and try to learn how to turn the volume up on that.
That's sure a wonderful goal. How often it's successful, you know, there's a movement in people who work in the prison system. They go in as volunteers called restorative justice. Mm-hmm. And that's the goal, is to try to help people who are incarcerated have some kind of personal growth and develop a sense of empathy for the people that they hurt and for other people. I don't have data on how successful that is. And it may be hard to measure because when they're in prison, you don't know what they're going to do until they get out of prison. But we certainly know that for people who are hardcore psychopaths, they have a very high recidivism rate. When they get out of prison, they just go back and commit more violent crimes. So it's a wonderful goal. How successful we can be is yet to be determined.
I have a great idea for them, and it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I could see it actually happening. Mega church preachers. There's nothing that could possibly go wrong with that. Nothing that could possibly go wrong with Diddy's kids turning into mega church preachers.
They would probably make more money than Diddy has made. Yes.
They would do it good. They would. Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's like the Righteous Gemstones or worse.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is continuing coverage of United States versus Sean Diddy Combs from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Well, Things are not going well for Diddy, to put it lightly. There's been a lot of testimony, a lot of people with a lot of stories, and it's all coming to light. Joining me to discuss the latest in the case, Robin Dreeke, retired FBI Special Agent, Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. We've learned more about what's happened with Cassie. We've learned more about what her mother has said about it. We've learned about Diddy allegedly blowing up someone's car. I mean, this is the stuff. I mean, it feels like it's from a bad rap music video where, like, there's flames and they're walking away from the car and then they start dancing. But this is real life. I mean, this is real extreme life where art seems to kind of take over their life, but it wasn't art. It was abuse. What's been your reactions this last week?
Yeah, definitely all that. And, you know, it's interesting, too, that incredible testimony. And at the same time, I'm still waiting for the trafficking stuff to get in here. I think this is hard hitting, very graphic, very granular and emotional testimony. But at the same time, though, I'm waiting for and hopefully get to the hard hitting stuff, which is really going to start really making an impact and starting helping people move down a path for healing, because I think he had a massive negative impact on a lot of people. And so I want people to be able to feel safe to come out and say something and testify.
I hope they do, because we already have one witness that's missing, a big one, Jane Doe number 3, that's supposed to testify, the government's witness. So, I mean, you know, of all of the people that have now made claims against Diddy, there's hundreds of civil lawsuits going on. The government didn't just grab everybody and say, okay, you're all in this case. They really picked very specific ones that they knew they had the receipts on, the goods of what actually took place. And now we don't know where the hell she is. And her attorney's not getting back to anybody. I don't want to speculate too much, but in a case like this, I'm going to guess somebody got to her, or she or her fear took over and she just said, this is not worth it to me to be out there. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. You hit that key word, fear. You know, you and I were talking before the show as well. And I, everyone in my own life, you know, we look at fear as one of the greatest motivators for human actions. Because when someone is threatening in your own perception, your safety, security, and prosperity, it really is going to influence the decisions you make. And so what has basically transpired is number 3 did not feel safe and she feared testifying. Now, where that threat came from, whether it's self-inflicted, whether it's an external force or individual somewhere else, because what the prosecution basically do, what the government was unable to do, was allow her to feel safe, testify.
Yeah,
and that's the bottom line.
And there's only so much they can do to help someone feel safe. I mean, they're not going to give you, 24-hour security. That's up to you at some point. But it doesn't mean it's going to stop somebody who has a vendetta. And the difference with Diddy, too, these aren't just, oh, my gosh, I'm going down. I'm going to start threatening people. And it's like some completely one-off behavior, like he's never threatened anybody in the past. And you can kind of take it lightly. This is decades of influence, of inflicting fear on people, of threatening people, of exposure, or even possibly death, it seems, in some of these cases. This is a long-term thing with him, with his power and his, what he wants to hold people accountable for if they turn on him. He's had this for quite some time. Let me ask you this. When you have something like this, long-term patterns of abuse while being surrounded by enablers, which clearly he's had, assistants, loyalists, they've normalized this kind of behavior. When you deal with individuals in powerful positions who evade accountability for years, what are some of the markers that indicate someone's power has, eroded their capacity for empathy or self-reflection or realizing, hey, there's no self-awareness, it seems, with Diddy, the way that he was treating people from what we've been learning.
If everyone listening and watching just kind of rewinds that, what did it sound like you're describing was a complete dictator of a nation state? Because really that's what's going on here is the dictator doesn't even have to say what to do. The implied actions against the state, which is the dictator himself, has consequences without the dictator even saying so. And so the way this impacts is that over a long period of time, there's just this inherent fear, and you have a lack of understanding of where that threat's going to come from and by who. And so it just places a large number of large amount of fear on everyone involved.
And that's the thing with this. It's everyone involved. It's a whole environment. It's not just one person. And yeah, I mean, that's what a dictator does. It's a government. Mm-hmm. So you got all these people around you. And that seems to be kind of what he did. I mean, they described him not just, you know, intimidating the partners that he's had, but assistants, drivers, hotel staff, to basically anything he wants, whether it be don't tell anybody about this, you know, security video, to don't tell anybody about, you know, the 58 bottles of baby oil that I just poured in a bathtub and expect you to go in. Everybody and everybody who's involved in the staging of all these things, they're all in on it. I guess, you know, let's speak to that for a little bit and how someone gets there and how you can get that many people on your side to go down the road of bad behavior, even if it's not to benefit you, it's to benefit this sick guy over here.
So again, pure conjecture here, but you start with a lever of influence of the cult of more, where you're enticing people into the cult by promises, by expectations of something better, something more. And so people are looking to better their potential for careers or looking for more monetary gain. And so you get sucked in by the cult of more, and then the lever of influence of fear starts take an effect, whether that fear is losing the more you have or fear of reciprocity, or you start seeing weird behaviors around you of people just disappearing. That's an implied threat. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that manipulation starts happening. And there's only the very close ones that actually understand exactly what's going on. You know, the dictator's chief of staff and the really small cabinet around them. And the challenge here is that everyone to Diddy is nothing but a screwdriver, mm-hmm. a tool to serve him. Some screwdrivers are a little rusty and they're at the bottom of the totem pole. Some are like golden plated. But you know what? That golden plated can be melted right off and thrown away as well. And so I think everyone is disposable once you've reached that certain level, because when you're caught up in that cult of more and that disease of comparison, the levers are very powerful. And since this is a dictatorship mm-hmm. without a rule of law, you have no, there's such unexpected reciprocity, and you don't know what the rules are oftentimes, except stay silent, stay safe. And the only way to do that is to keep to yourself. Don't share anything, disappear, don't ruffle feathers. You know, so that's what fear does when you don't have an actual law system in place of reciprocity. And that's why everyone also did abhorrent things that were against the law, that were illegal, that were heinous towards other human beings, because they were living in their own mini nation state. I mean, it's just do that thought experiment of what the size of this was, how long it took place. He had his own little mini nation going on here, mm-hmm. slash cult, but same sort of result.
And that's the really creepy thing about this, is that it was that mini nation. It's kind of amazing how quickly people can be influenced to follow something that they otherwise know is inherently bad. Where 3 weeks before meeting Diddy, if someone said, okay, you're going to go and you're going to be cleaning up these hotel rooms after he's done these horrible things, you go in and you just see utter destruction, and you see people that have been beaten. You see people that are literally on IVs to survive and keep going. And this is your new job. This is your job to help pick up after this. How do you normalize something like that? How do you think he normalized something like that? Because I would think on day one, if that's your job, you'd be like, I'm out. But it's got to be a slow build. It must not be day one you're in there cleaning up the freak-offs. Maybe you're, I don't know, cleaning the kitchen or something. And then it just slowly goes to that. I don't know. I mean, it goes to such extremes. It seems very quick for a lot of these folks, but they seem to be able to mold themselves around this job. Is that because it's the excitement of, well, it's Diddy, you know, in the aura of I get to be close to Diddy. It doesn't matter what he does. I mean, does celebrity play a role in that? And the image that he had and what he commanded, was that star power just something where people are ready to say, well, screw the rules of human behavior, I'm going to go along with this?
Yeah, I definitely think that this is a part of it. I think every individual responds to it differently as well. But in general, I mean, just think about this. A lot of times, so the people that were first indoctrinated that come in at the lower levels of his nation state, of his dictatorship, you know, you're slowly indoctrinated, possibly or potentially. And then a lot of them are aspiring stars, aspiring risers, or people that want to be part of that circle of celebrity. And so when you have someone at the top or the people around the person at the top where he has that massive reputation, I mean, he is known as Diddy. Mm-hmm. And if Diddy or his circle says this is the way it's done, you now have massive groupthink and social proof saying, huh, everything I read and everything I saw about and every dream I had of this utopia of how the music industry worked was completely wrong. And so you don't want to go against our own mindset of what is and what we wanted to be and aspire to in life. And so I was wrong. These people must be right in order for me to move forward and not be counter to things I believed in, the things I wanted to do for my own life, my career, my music career, all these things. I must adapt myself to what the group says is normal in this environment. And so it's a choice, but it's you can see social proof is extremely powerful with people, especially when you've already decided in your mind that you want to be part of this kind of organization, part of group and part of industry. And when that industry then tells you en masse, because Diddy was the industry for for a lot of people, the industry says, this is the behavior you have to have. This is what you have to do to be part of this group. You're going to comply.
Yeah, because it wasn't just him that was saying it. I mean, he had his little army. His enablers enabled new enablers. He didn't even have to do it half the time. It was just...
Dictators very rarely get in the weeds.
Yeah, it's if you go into a new environment and you have no idea what being a celebrity is like, you have no idea what that world is like because it's not common, it's not normal unless you're in it, and suddenly you're in it, oh, this is what it's like, and it's not what I expected it to be. Oh my goodness, will they do this? And all these people around are saying that this is okay and this is how we do it. I guess you very quickly fall in line if your ultimate goal is what you want for yourself. If that's to be the next Diddy or just to be a music star, whatever they were trying to glean off of Diddy, what sort of advantage they were trying to get with being close to him, that outweighed their moral compass, I guess, to a certain extent. Is it that? Is it brainwashing? Because a lot of these people who've come out of this, I mean, when they're not in the Diddy land, they seem like very moral, rational human beings, but it's scary how quickly morals go out the window when you're in the presence of someone or something that you think you're going to use to your advantage. It seems then like maybe for some, others don't really matter. The emotions don't matter because it's going to benefit you, and this is the path to get there.
Well, you also start second guessing what you think is right or wrong. You second guess your own morals and ethics, because when you are seeing something for the first time and your initial response is abhorrence and withdrawing and saying, oh my gosh, that's wrong. But even the people that it's being done to, the immoral, indecent acts, they are also living in fear. So they're saying, oh no, it's fine. And so they're rationalizing that behavior onto themselves. And so now with you as an outsider coming in, you're seeing bad things being done to others, but the victims of those bad things, they're telling you it's okay because this is normal. This is the way things are done. And so it's rewriting your own morals and ethics on top of what you've learned already. And then you're rationalizing it to yourself because you want to be part of this group. You want to be part of this organization. You think it's a healthy organization because of what everyone's saying is it's fine. I mean, this is why as a species we thrive, because we have the ability to tell stories, we have the ability to gossip, and we have the ability to collectively move together in groups and organizations because we have this kind of communication and groupthink. But when someone does it for ill means, whether it's an individual in the music industry or a nation state, it still has the same outcome. You can destroy lives.
Yeah. Kid Cudi, he testified this week. He's a rapper that was dating Cassie for a short off period between Diddy and Cassie. Well, Diddy, of course, did not like that. He made comments to Cassie that he was going to blow up his car. And then a few weeks later, his car was firebombed. Yeah, I think it's easy to see what took place here and who likely instigated it. How likely do you think this happened in a bubble, where this is the first time Diddy went out and firebombed someone's car or took things to this extreme? Or is this just one of the few that made it to light because people who've had this happen to them, they don't want to see what's going to happen next? And they haven't spoken again. I can't imagine this is the only time he's gone to an extreme like this. Just conjecture.
Yeah, very rare to go from 0 to 100, as we say. There's an arc of behavior. I guarantee you there is other violence or threats of violence leading up to a firebombing of a car before that. So I seriously doubt that's the first and only data point that we're going to see or that's been done before. So, but yeah, all it takes is that one act that's got seen by others and it becomes the unwritten rule about how not to have that done to you.
There really was, I mean, it seems to be a world of two Diddies. There's this very dark, evil type character that has zero accountability and zero empathy for anyone other than himself. And then you have the Diddy family man, the philanthropist that we saw out in public that was helping this and helping that and his kids. They seem to love him still to this day. You know, they're showing up in court despite the horrific things that are being said about dad. That's, I think, one of the things that is really hard for people to wrap their mind around, how he could flip to be this guy at night or wherever it was, and he could be this guy during the day. And one's the devil and one's a saint. How is that mind? How is his mind operating that allows him to just compartmentalize things to such an extreme and almost like literally be two different human beings?
Good question. I think everyone's different on this one too. Well, we see a lot, and we, you and I see it with on social media and people on social media, and there's people that are very congruent with their behavior, both on and off screen. I mean, you and I are pretty much the same people everywhere we go. Mm-hmm. That makes it very congruent for people to understand. But at the same time, though, there's a lot of people that are entertainers. And so an entertainer could very easily explain away their behaviors like, oh, when I'm at work, I'm entertaining. When I'm being Diddy, I'm entertaining. When I'm being dad, I'm being this. And so reconciling those two, that's the challenge for people to make is when people don't see what's going behind the scenes of the public persona, that's the challenge. But there's leakage. There's always leakage with human behavior. And the leakage comes from incongruencies. There's leakage coming from, you know, tempo changes, communication style changes. And so, in other words, if you ever watch someone or observe someone for a period of time, and over that period of time, you kind of take a step back and say, that was odd. Mm-hmm. Huh. You know, the first time you said that was odd, it could just be a one-off. But if you're saying, well, that's odd, I don't understand that. I don't understand why they said that. I don't understand what that behavior is. Why did the people around them over here act a little bit differently than in this instance over here? I don't understand how these two are the same. See what I mean? When you start getting inconsistencies, we're picking up on the leakage of there might be something more going on. Not saying there is something devious going on, but there's something going on. In other words, there might be more to that 5-second highlight reel that they're putting out in front of you to the 24 hours of suck that's going on behind it.
That's got to be a traumatic thing for anyone who's gone through it, but then to realize, to kind of have your moment where you come back to reality and you see reality for what it is, and you see, oh my God, like I've been part of this. That how does that happen? Like, is it a switch that flips in people sometimes where it's, oh shit, like this is the line. This went too far. Or, I mean, there's a lot of people that certainly did get out of this and people who are testifying against him and people who have stories. But what does it take to realize that you're involved in this culty-like thing to escape? Is it a level of deviant behavior that pushes someone away? Or is it, I don't know, because once people are in these sort of cult-like situations, it's really hard to pull them out.
It is, and not everyone can make it. I mean, so great example. The thing that popped in my mind when you're describing this, think to the Ruby Frankie case and Kevin Frankie.
Yeah.
Here's a husband that was caught up in the cult of his wife and Jody Hildebrandt, and he's still to this day, you can tell he's not totally bought in with, that was really bad. Well, he says it's bad, but you know, I still love her. I mean, you can kind of see this playing out with Diddy people. Well, I still really like Diddy. Oh yeah, it was bad, but oh, I really like Diddy. I mean, so some people are gonna be like, oh man, that was crazy, that was nuts. I think what really happens and what's really critical in these situations is who's in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Having, as you and I've said numerous times on this case, our own lives and everything else, is that having loving critics in our lives that can be objective for us in the face of our own emotional hijacking is really key and critical. It's very hard to do it for ourselves. That's why we have someone stand with us that is saying, hey, that's really weird shit going on. Knock it off.
Yeah.
As well as, even though I can't do it for myself in this moment because I'm emotionally attached to the outcome, emotionally attached to the person, I can do it for the person that is my loving critic. I can be their loving critic because I'm objective for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's a key. Anytime a loving critic in your life, and it's got to be loving, someone you trust, someone who's not giving you information and dialogue and feedback for their own good, but only for your good, when they say something's off, you have to listen. Even though 99% of you wants to get drawn in and you want to do it, if your loving critic says, you need to pull back, you got to pull back.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'd rather be wrong 5% of the time, 10% of the time, than 100% of the time or 90% of the time. In other words, let that loving critic be there for you to see objectively what's going on. And if you don't have one, be very wary of the decisions you're making when you start dealing with really weird, odd behavior and people that kind of set your hairs on the edge of your arm up and actually says, at any time you're saying, that's odd, that's off, or even someone else is saying the same thing, just pay attention.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee, only at McDonald's.
For limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.